Mr. Snyder, how are you?
Good, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing well. What part of the state are you in?
Actually, I'm in Ann Arbor today, and then I'm off to Grand Rapids, and then zooming to other places. So getting a little variety today.
Are you a Spartan or a Wolverine?
Well, I'm a Wolverine. I've got 3 degrees from the University of Michigan, so I'm a maize and blue guy, but we've got a lot of great colleges. I root for the Spartans except when they play Michigan.
Oh, spoken like a true politician. But tell me about just a football question. Do you follow football down there?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they're going to be better this year than they have the last two?
I certainly hope so. That's clearly the goal, and looking forward to the new stadium. That'll be exciting. I think it's going to make it a lot louder in there with the sides on.
Well, I've got several questions for you, so let's have at it. First of all, there's been much talk about the challenges that you have with your own party, the Republican Party, of course, especially with the conservatives of that party. Do you find that you have a challenge in having those folks support you?
Well, we got great support from conservatives. I'm a conservative person myself, so we don't see the issue the same way a lot of the press does. One of the challenges that you always have is we had 5 people in a primary. So we had a lot of people that voted for some of the other candidates, and part of the goal now is to really get people on, you know, the same page and let's move forward and work great together. And we're just going through that process. So I think that's just a natural evolution.
Would you consider yourself a moderate Republican?
Well, I don't worry about labels a whole lot. I'm out there to say we need to really reinvent our state and solve problems. So being a good nerd, I focus more on the outcomes rather than the labels that people want to use to get you there.
Well, in talking with Tim Skubick, as I did earlier this morning, he had mentioned that you had proposed the question when he talked to you. Much has been mentioned by the press about you attracting that real conservative right with the Republican Party. Well, you believe the same could be said with Virge Bonaro and the Democrats.
Well, the mayor and his campaign, I leave that for them to run their own campaign and for the press to talk to them about their issues. Just as we did in the primary, I'm staying focused on our campaign because it's about being positive and it's about looking out in Michigan's future. Far too much in the political world is spent looking backwards or looking sideways, and that doesn't solve Michigan's issues. So I'm focused on what I can do to bring more and better jobs and keep our young people here.
From where you stand, how many debates are there going to be, and when will they be held?
Well, we proposed doing 3 of them, which we think is the appropriate number, and our goal was to get them done pretty much in September, and the primary reason for that is in October, absentee ballots are going out to people, and you'll find people already voting. So we want to get in front of as many people before they've made that decision as possible, and we think that's the appropriate way to look at it.
Well, Virge Bonaro wants more. Will there be any negotiations on the number?
Well, we're going to negotiate on all the terms of the debate, but the number should be 3.
Do you have in mind who's going to moderate those debates?
That's something we'll talk to, because there's a lot of good people that could moderate debates, and there's a lot of good places around the state to have them. So one thing we're going to look at is, you know, making sure we're getting around the state in terms of different geographies.
When you were going through the process of campaigning for the primary, obviously you won, but what'd you learn? What surprised you?
Well, the thing that got me most excited about the whole process is really interacting with our volunteers and the people that were supporters and all the hard work they were doing, because I'd be going around the state and I'd run across people when I'd come to a community. And I had one case on the West Michigan shoreline where I met this wonderful woman, and she had been out walking 3 miles every night, going door to door. And that just gets you fired up. And the other part that goes with that made me so proud and excited is when I talked to the people supporting our campaign and the people volunteering, it wasn't about beating someone else. It wasn't about saying, you know, we want to cause someone else to lose. It was about Michigan's future. It was about we were working towards a positive end for all of us and not with this win-lose attitude. And that's the spirit I really want to continue in this process because, again, we've got a state that's got a lot of issues in terms of a culture that's challenged. And we need to get to an environment where Michiganders work and win together.
On this program, many times you had mentioned that your number one focus, the number one item on the top of your to-do list if you should win the governor's job would be jobs. Let's take that out of it. What in the state, beyond jobs and business, needs the most tending to? What part of the state needs the most help?
Well, then you got to look at government itself, because jobs is the number one issue, and the associated one that goes with that is keeping our kids here. After that is we have a broken government. We have a government we can't afford that doesn't work right in terms of delivering real outcomes and results to people. So one of the key things I proposed, and that's on our top 10 list, is redoing our budget system and putting in a system that's much more transparent, that's more open, that talks about a multi-year budget, and is really focused on outcomes and results, giving people value for money with measurable, tangible, meaningful goals that positively impact real people, and not the old system we've had for years, which is more a handful of people going behind closed doors, letting special interests argue about who wins or loses the marginal dollar, and then coming out with a more take-it-or-leave-it kind of proposal that is spending on tons of activities without looking for real results. That old system doesn't work. Let's get to a better system that gives better outcomes for less cost.
We're talking with Michigan gubernatorial candidate Rick Snyder. You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. When we talk about the budget for the state, it's going to be a huge challenge next year. Boy, talk about a challenge for you should you win, because the stimulus money is not going to be there in support of the other funds that will be available. That seems like it's going to be an insurmountable task. How are you going to balance the budget? Where are you going to find the money?
Well, when I started this whole process of running for governor, I knew we'd have a disaster situation. It was just a question of how large a disaster. And it is going to be an extremely difficult thing, Tony. And what I just talked about, though, with value for money budgeting is the right approach to it, because we can't look at it the same old way. We do need a fundamentally new, much more sound approach, relying on business practices. Other states have done this in terms of the value for money budgeting. The state of Washington, if you go back to the 2003 kind of time frame, they faced over like a $2.4 billion deficit. They put in the system of budgeting. They called it somewhat different, but the same basic principles. In a two-year budget, they were able to close the gap. And when they went out and surveyed Republicans, Democrats, Independents, when it was all over, they got positive feedback on how the process happened. So there are better ways, and let's just step up and do that.
When we talk about your race against Virge Bonero, as we've talked about before, here you have Rick Snyder, the so-called nerd, and I don't think we can look at that in a negative way anymore because the nerd handled his business in the primary. But then you got this angry mayor who's a yeller and a screamer, and we're going to put these on a head-on collision. Talk about the differences in your styles.
Well, I think you just described some of them yourself. Again, what do people want for the future of Michigan? And I think it's the platform and the person I am, that basically people want someone to come in that's going to be thoughtful, hardworking, and solve problems. We don't need a lot of other things going around that. The thing we need to achieve is real results, and we need to do it in a positive fashion, and we need to do it in a fashion that looks forward to where Michigan needs to be going in the future, not looking in the rearview mirror at where Michigan's been in its past. And it also needs to be in an environment where we take a broken culture where we're too negative and we're too divisive among ourselves and brings people together to say, this isn't about being different. This is about finding common ground that we win together as Michiganders. And that's the approach that resonated so well in the primary, and we're just going to continue that path in the general election.
Virge Bonero has strong support of the union. What would you say to the people who are union workers?
Well, again, it's beyond people put the union label too much on things. You're talking about real people out there with jobs trying to make a livelihood and succeed, and the best thing we can do for most of us is just grow the economy, and that's my expertise. I'm the proven job creator. I've got the experience in economic development, and I know how to come into a broken system and say, this broken system is holding us back. Let's reform government. Let's make it work in a positive fashion going ahead. And when you start growing the economy, that's where you provide real opportunity for people and their families, particularly their kids, and that's what I'm focused on.
Rick, who's going to be your lieutenant governor?
Still working through that process. We're making progress on that, and we'll have something for you next week.
And then the dog that the media has put nipping at your tail is an issue that has come up regarding outsourcing workers with your company, and I know you'd like the opportunity to address that.
Well, that's been brought up by people since the very beginning in terms of some of the competitors I had, and those allegations aren't correct. I'm a proven job creator. At Gateway, I helped manage a company that grew from 700 people to over 10,000. I came back to Michigan and created successful companies and created jobs there. And that's the approach we need for the future.
Can a business person do business without outsourcing jobs from time to time, or can you keep all the work, for example, here in a state?
Well, it varies all over. Again, the goal, people shouldn't be looking to outsource as a normal course of action. You can grow a good business, and a lot of that happens. We're in a global economy, so there are challenges there for people to stay in business. So we just need to look at Michigan, and the comeback of Michigan is, again, going to be entrepreneurs starting and growing small businesses. So those jobs will be here, and that's what we need to focus on.
If you're a businessman and it's more economical to send the work out, it will cost you less, which will allow you to perhaps make a bigger profit, which you can put back into the business to perhaps hire more people here in the state of Michigan. Is sometimes that a necessary evil?
Well, the other part that goes with that, Tony, that too often people just look at the lowest cost issue, and that's not the right way to look at it. It's actually total cost of quality. And I've done this myself. I actually looked at situations where it's best to keep the work in the country because it's not about the lowest labor cost. Getting better work done here actually brings down your cost because you'll have higher quality. So people shouldn't just default setting to say the lowest labor cost. That's not the way that people should look at those kind of issues. And unfortunately, that happens too often when we should be keeping work here because we've got much better quality.
And then finally, there seems to be that age-old tug of war with the so-called rich of the big fat cat companies against the common guy. But a lot of the information we've been talking about here is you need business to succeed. You need business to do well so that they can reinvest in jobs. How do you take away that tug of war?
Well, it's called free enterprise. I mean, basically, if you have good enterprise and you have good competition in a market, it's going to be an efficient market. And that's what built our country, was free enterprise and capitalism. And we do need to do that in a positive way because that's how you create jobs, as you said. That's how you grow companies. That's how you become successful. And that's how you give opportunities for people to move up the ladder and share in that wealth and make things happen. I mean, if you look at Michigan, we created the industrial era in many respects back in the early 1900s. We led the country in how many different fields? And we were the catalyst because of the success of those companies. We were the catalyst to create the American middle class. And we should be really proud of that. And it was by those people working together to create a great environment.
Well, we always appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, Rick. We'll talk with you in 2 weeks. Enjoy your day, and thanks so much.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.